You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Take one. Knock, knock.
Who it is?
We're Stephen and Dana, and we can't believe you found our fucking podcast.
A podcast.
We're so glad you're listening to it. We would never listen to it.
I don't even want to listen to it to edit it.
I don't even want to wake up in the morning. We're Stephen and Dana, and we're in the room.
Love that show so much.
Oh god, it's so weird.
So we were just talking about Encore, which we love. Last week, if you listened, was Adam Wachter, who was mm-hmm. the musical director for 6 out of the 12 episodes of Encore on Disney+.
Yeah,
and we're kind of obsessed with it.
Hi Dana.
Hi Stephen.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and yours.
This
How was yours?
2020.
How was your...
How was my New Year? It was fine. Went to a neighbor's house, had a great time, had a lot of champagne.
So that sounds great. You were social?
Yeah, we were social. We rang in the New Year with strangers and friends alike. Was still home by 12:30.
Whoa. I was home by 2:30, ordered food that didn't come, ordered food from a different place, so I was in bed by 5.
Were you refunded?
I don't know. It's been a couple days and I don't care anymore.
Oh, no, you should look into that.
Okay. I just don't care.
You should. The one that didn't show up, you should.
We went to the Bonnie and Astoria and had a Great Gatsby-themed affair with a bunch of friends, new and old. And then we went to Icon in Astoria, the gay bar, and kept moving. It was fun. But I don't like to stay out that late anymore. Mama needs to get home. And go seepies.
Yeah.
And go seepies.
And you had been on an air mattress, so you were ready to get into
it. Oh my god. I spent my holidays up in New Hampshire with the family and my nephew, who's rocking it and nailing it, who loves Taylor Swift, and we're hoping he's very musical. We got him a xylophone. He's not sure how to use the mallet yet. He just like waves it and is mad that there's no noise coming out of the xylophone. Do you know what I mean? He just like...
Sure, he doesn't understand that contact needs to be made.
He's supposed... He's like using the tool and then like kicking his feet and like, I know this has to make noise somehow.
There's something I'm missing.
Yeah. There were two crazy ladies here this past week that showed me how to do this and now they're gone and now I don't know what to do.
I love watching in babies and animals alike, I love watching them use their brain and like know that they can do something but not really know how to execute
yes.
it. Like watching a dog try to get under a folded blanket.
Yes.
Like I don't know how to unfold, but I know I belong under here.
Yeah. Yeah. My nephew's finding all of the tunnels in the living room, like between the couch and the chair.
Oh,
I taught
no,
him how to
starting.
Clap.
It's starting.
Yes. Yeah, anyway, I'm in love with him. And I slept on an air mattress and my back is F-U-C-K-E-D up.
E-D.
Foo-doop.
Asner.
Fuck. Ed Asner. Anyway, so we're here with Brian Nash.
You guys.
Finally. You're the first person on our goddamn Google spreadsheet that we made 2 years ago.
You were certainly in the first round of meetings. Oh. I think Nancy Opal was the first name.
Well, I mean,
but here's the thing about you, though, that I feel comfortable saying, is that your family, mm-hmm. in a way, like
a giant tree.
I have certainly known you for many, many years.
For many a year.
I've never once been to your apartment, and I've never seen you outside of a bar. However,
you're certainly a significant piece of my tapestry.
Yes, well, there is
the eye is drawn.
There is a familial weaving that happens with Brian Nash. So we knew that if we could get you, we could.
Oh.
And now we're very thrilled to have you now.
I'm delighted to be here in this actual room.
You are a world
traveler.
You didn't
have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
No,
you're delighted
shocked.
To be here because we're here.
Because I'm home. Because I'm just here.
You're like, oh, you're coming to me. Great.
No. You're traveling so often, and thank you for documenting, because am I jealous. And I want to hear all about your life hacks and traveling hacks and how to fly and how to be fancy and then also moving hacks because you're moving soon.
I'm apparently moving.
God.
I know.
If these walls could talk.
If these walls could talk, they would scream.
So we are currently on...
I met Tanya Pinkins within these walls.
Yes, you did meet Tanya Pinkins first within time. These walls.
Also on the Broadway Podcast Network.
Yeah, at a Chicago and Harlem party.
Oh, that was nice. Threw. That was a good night.
Yeah, because I'm originally from Chicago, so there are certain things one cannot get in New York. One cannot get a real Chicago hot dog. Shake Shack tries. They try. They almost make it.
A for effort.
A for effort. You cannot get a real deep dish pizza, which some people call a casserole. But it is just...
That's true.
5 in my oven. In my oven. No. God, that would be chunky. No, I've got 5 in my freezer right now.
There's 3 of us here, so 5
seems I could put one in the oven right now. By the time the podcast is done, it would be ready.
Are you a Lumalnati's?
I'm Lumalnati's.
Me too.
Giordano's, I think...
I like Giordano's.
It's fine. Giordano's is a very specific thing. It's a stuffed pizza as opposed to a deep dish moment. I don't know why I just became Barbara Streisand with my consonants when I said that. A Giordano's is like a stuffed pizza, which...
Which is a different thing.
Is reminiscent of a pizza they had in Boston that I had a lot. So, occasionally if I'm feeling reminisce, I'll go there. It's Lumalnati's. That's what's currently in the freezer.
Yeah.
I
can't stop thinking about Barbara Streisand eating deep dish pizza now.
Well, you know, she would call for it in the middle of the concert, so then it would be ready for her the second she was done.
She'd call it an intermission.
She'd call it an intermission, like she did for those crab legs
those
or whatever.
Fucking
the hell.
Lobsters.
Wow. Yeah. Barbara Streisand is something else. I saw that coaster on your freaking table.
Did you see the rest of them?
I'm using the back
I saw
one.
A share one. We need to describe this gorgeous apartment. I mean, so. We are in Harlem.
Yes. We are right off 125th Street.
On Neil Patrick Harris Avenue.
Yeah, I'm on Neil Patrick Harris's the next block. This actually is from their Christmas party. I won the white elephant thing. I was the last chosen, so I got to steal the best prize, which was 4 VIP tickets to a taping of SNL. So, yeah.
My boss's daughter works there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You need to go. Come with.
I mean, she's like
April
a...
4th.
No.
That was the worst white elephant gift?
No, that is the best white elephant gift. So I was the final one chosen, so I got to steal the best shit.
Yes, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, the other option was...
I don't know from white elephant parties.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, they're crazy about it. They're...
I've been to one, and I gave a signed headshot.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is actually genius. No, they're very intense with their white elephant. It's like $100... like minimum max, like try to shoot for $100 because fancy people.
Yeah.
They're very intense with the stealing and the two that were most stolen, actually poor, probably need to trim this moment down because I'm going to have a stroke and forget her name. Memphis.
Montego Glover.
Yes. Montego Glover. Got fucked. She like, Montego Glover's gifts kept getting stolen. She had SNL for a minute. It got stolen.
Oh,
she had, like, David Burdka making you dinner for 4 of your friends at Neil and David's house. Stolen. Continually. She had this, like...
How does that work? Like, you put it down on the table, like, I have to go pee. Here.
No. Like, you...
Out of your pocket?
So, you get drawn in an order, and you pick... There's, like, a pile of shit, and you just kind of pick a gift, and you unwrap it in front of all the people. And then anyone after it can keep the gift they have been given, or like you can choose a gift or you can just steal from somebody previously.
Like literally just grab it.
It is the
forget the little girl and get the cape.
It is the Hunger Games
of
gifting.
You've never been to a white elephant.
It's horrifying.
That's what that wheel is from, is our white elephant.
No.
Yes.
I thought she needed that for work.
No. We had a white elephant for around the holidays with my Wisconsin friends, and there was no limit. Or max. It was just people giving shit away.
Yeah.
So there was like a beer making kit and then also soap was one of them. Like,
you really never get
fucked.
Which is totally the point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, no, you go there with no expectations.
Yeah.
I know that.
Well, that one sounds like I know I'm going to get something for
$100. At least okay.
Yeah. At least okay.
Yeah. I mean, some of them were just odd. There was definitely a glassware set that was modeled on different Star Trek characters. Like, some of it was hilarious, but some of it was brilliant. There was a designer who was on who won first season of Project Runway, who gave away a personally designed hoodie that just had a very, very close picture of Nancy Pelosi doing the clapback from the State of Union.
That's great.
Which was stolen many a time.
Yeah. Was that Siriano? Christian Siriano? No,
he was third season? I don't remember.
I remember watching the first at least.
Yeah, he got...
I don't know which season is which because I would just watch him on VH1 like on a marathon day in 2005.
Yeah. I never really watched it. But I feel like it's kind of like early Idol, where it's not necessarily the people who won who got famous.
Right.
Yeah.
Early Idol.
Yeah.
Like, longevity does not mean you won.
No. As Bo Bice will tell you.
Oh, Bo Bice.
Bo Bice.
Rube Studs.
Listen. But back on Broadway.
They all have their own.
They're doing things.
Yeah, they're doing their things.
Yeah. And good on them.
Yeah, they're not doing nothing.
Hmm. Some of them might be doing nothing.
Some of them might be doing nothing, but not all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, might be porn, but they're doing something.
What American Idol person got into porn?
Who?
Which Oil? American Idol person got into porn?
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, somebody's got to.
I thought
Oh, no. I don't have distinct knowledge. But I'm sure somebody in the top 15.
Somebody.
I mean,
Honest living.
Well,
living.
Frenchie. Frenchie showed her tatas.
She better show her tatas.
Yeah.
Her name is Frenchie.
But that was before. That was before the Idol. And then she was Honest Living. Literally in that show.
I know, I saw her do it.
Yeah, who the fuck do you think you are?
Dreams.
Yeah. She's great.
She's a queen. When she didn't win, I stopped watching Idol.
She's a damn queen. But I mean, J-Hud.
I stopped watching J-Hud.
Yeah, J-Hud did not win.
Remember? J-Hud did not win.
She won an Oscar.
Yeah, but then she won an Oscar.
Hello?
But then she
Annette Bening has not won an Oscar, folks.
No, but Jennifer Hudson has an Oscar.
Yeah.
Jennifer Hudson.
She hasn't seen Cats, so we can't talk about it.
You're kidding me.
But I can look at you.
You can talk about Cats.
I can look at you.
Let's do Cats.
I had the night I wanted.
See? I had exactly the night I wanted.
Was your audience good?
My audience was great.
Oh,
my audience was spectacular.
Our audience was perfect.
And I think I opened the gate on that one. Because there were a couple moments where I could not help myself.
Oh, I was not in control of my life.
No. Like, no. The second the lights went down, I stole a Kathy and Jimmy line and it said, good luck, everybody. And that was it. We were just in. We were in this place together. We were having the experience. When Skimbleshanks showed up, I let out an involuntary, ooh, girl.
A highlight for us was,
it sounds like church.
It really is.
When
Natalie Joy Johnson, another rumor, has also not been to the Cats film. And I have finally convinced her to go. She's like, I hate that show, though.
I haven't seen it.
That's the
Tell me where to be.
Yeah.
Tell me where to be and when to be there.
No, we've got to go at like 2 in the afternoon at the Magic Johnson Theater on 125th.
We went at fucking 10:45 p.m. at AMC Lincoln Square.
Mm-hmm. It's a dream.
It was a dream. There was a plant in our audience. Somebody involved in the film was there because we got our tickets ahead of time. We were the only ones in the theater, so we would keep checking back to see how long we would have that luxury.
Yeah.
And the next ticket purchase was one in the last row on the aisle. And I was like, Idris Elba.
Ha!
So we wait patiently for the day to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
We get there and we look back as the movie's starting. Nobody's there yet, but we look back right before the credits start and we catch somebody pulling up their hood and putting on shades.
Like Bette Midler in First Wives Club.
Yep.
She's with me, babe.
Yeah. Someone was there. Jodie Foster did that when she came to see Silence. She fully sunglassed, ducked out, like came in right as it started, left right as it, you know. Came down because
I get
Jodie Foster at a Silence of the Lambs musical
is this dangerous?
Poor thing. I ran into her at actually Kathy and Jimmy's birthday party in LA, and I was like, I don't know how to talk to you about this, so I'm not going to, like, just avoided.
You don't know if she liked it or
she sent word that she thought it was really funny.
Oh, good.
She sent word through like various channels.
I remember this is before I met you.
Yeah.
Taking my uncle to see it. You know, like 20 years ago.
Oh my god, 20 years ago. Shit. I mean that.
I mean, it was before I knew you, and I met you in 2012.
Yeah. Because it opened off Broadway in 2011. We did the Fringe Festival in 2005.
It was like a must see.
It was a thing. Like, it was crazy.
20 years ago?
Yeah, I'm really good at math.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do our accounting.
We love you, Dorian Allen.
Let's wait.
Yeah, we have to rewind.
We need to talk about how was your past year? What were you doing this year?
A lot of things. It's weird because I just do like a lot of
Never told our listeners who don't know you, the ones in Brazil.
Yeah. Hi, Brazilians.
That
they probably know him.
You are.
I'm sorry, your president's insane.
You're a unicorn. You're a musical director. You are an arranger. Mm-hmm. You are you work on ships half the year.
Man about the
on
world.
Big gay boats.
Are you an artistic director somewhere?
I don't know.
Okay.
No. Not officially. Like you... Oh, look. FedEx is here.
Yeah.
FedEx is here.
Be right down.
Who sent you a godiva of chocolates when you were sick? FedEx Express.
I think my recycling bags have arrived.
Anyway, we were saying that you wear a lot of hats, and I don't know what like your official job title is other than Brian Nash.
Yes.
The role usually played by Brian Nash will be played by Brian Woodkey.
Occasionally Joel Wagner. Joel Wagner. I do a lot of weird things. I play for a lot of people. I perform as myself sometimes when I feel like it. But it's mainly like my main job is just music directing. Either musicals or mainly people's concerts, shows, you know.
Which is what brings you to cruise ships, which brings you to Mexico, which is what brings you to Chicago the time.
Which brings me to Tahiti. It's weird. Cruise ships don't often go to Chicago because A, burr, B, it's a lake.
There was a comma.
Can you? I missed the comma.
I probably missed it as well.
Yeah.
But it was intended.
The weird thing is, the weird thing with the cruise thing is, like, A, it sounds like cheesy and terrifying, because most cruise ships are. But I've done probably 90 something cruises in my life, and I have never been on a normal straight cruise. That has never happened.
Tell us everything.
So
you're gonna have your 100th cruise in 2020.
I have a question.
I haven't done the math. I have a problem.
Is it Disney Cruise a normal straight cruise?
Disney Cruise is a normal straight cruise.
Okay, so you've only done like Atlantis big gay boats.
Yes.
All right.
Or back in the day, Our Family, which was the Rosie O'Donnell experience. Shout out to Kelly and Rao, and gorgeous Anne Steele.
I saw Rosie at Hal Prince's memorial.
Oh, yeah.
Her hair looks so good.
What is she doing? Like the gray, like beswooped.
Yeah, beswooped.
Yeah, kind of like Paula Cole.
She looks great.
That's great.
She looks great. I was with Dana. We saw her.
Yeah.
She makes me cry. She's my OG.
That story is amazing.
Well, I love her.
She's a dream. Was it Taboo that you ran into her? No.
No.
In the Heights.
In the Heights.
In the Heights.
Yeah.
In the Heights and the Mez. What was Ro doing in the Mez?
I don't know. I can't tell you.
Couldn't
get a ticket.
No, you couldn't get a ticket.
Let's remember In the Heights in 2009.
You could not get a tick. No. No, I can't remember how I got in.
I'm already laughing that, like, Hamilton is putting things out. It's like, best availability, March 2020 during the day.
Which is...
I'm like, oh, you can get a ticket to Hamilton now?
Yeah, which is close. I mean, it's been...
Haven't seen it.
4 years? 5 years? When did it open? 2015.
It? Jesus Christ. 2015.
Hamilton's been open for 5 years.
Anyway, back to you.
Well, the fun thing is, like, so I travel a lot. So I music direct. One of my main jobs that keeps me traveling continually is I music direct all the Atlantis cruises. And Atlantis is the leading LGBT travel company.
Mostly G.
A lot of G.
A lot of G.
Not like that.
With a capital T.
Although sometimes that.
Stands with P in it.
And maybe in some NQ.
Yeah.
Not many L's.
Yeah. Not many L's. I mean, often they will actually... I mean, this sounds very...
I've I've seen the pictures. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they do. When a lady person comes on board the boat, they're like, "Oh my god, you're number 24."
Oh my god! Absolutely. I want to go so bad.
Is there like an L lounge?
There is not. They do have like a Women of Atlantis kind of moment.
A pussy perch?
Yeah, exactly. Because you need
and
one.
It's just space. You just sit in there.
It's like the floor.
It's first thing in the
workout
morning.
At the Planet
Fitness. Yeah. Space.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. There's definitely like, you know, they do it at the sushi bar. But
24. You just get a tag. 24 that you're lesbians. No name. It's just like
24.
The best part 601.
Is yeah, 2 2 4 6 0. Ah! Yeah, they definitely have. P.S. Have you? You guys know the Colm Wilkinson matinee performance? That legendary.
He probably. I don't know anything. What you're talking about?
My God, there is, and it
Colm
was
Colm Wilkinson, the most iconic.
Jean Valjean.
I don't need to know who he is. Yeah. I know it's Jean Valjean, yeah, which is Elaine's middle name.
OG Jean Valjean.
Grandma's middle name is Valjean. Elaine Valjean Visna Craig. She's French Canadian.
There's so many layers.
And I'm like, Grandma, it's not Valjean. It's Valjean.
Valjean. Your name
is
Jean
not
Valjean.
Elaine, it's not Valjean.
Elaine's middle name is
Elaine
Valjean.
Elaine Valjean Visna Craig.
Nope, that's wrong. It's amazing. Valjean. Yeah.
Elaine Valjean Visana Craig.
Her name's Elaine Valjean. And I'm Javert. Do not forget my name.
Oh my god, tangents, but we're still
I'm 14 because I'm the first to fucking die.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
I'm dripping sweat. That's the funniest thing
I've
ever
met.
I'm in Hathaway because no one wants me here.
That's incredible. So there is a legendary performance that got passed around like a blunt in the late 80s on a cassette of our dear Colm Wilkinson, the original Jean Valjean, on Broadway during a matinee. He was not in voice for that particular performance, and it is spectacular.
I have it on this computer.
Yeah, you'll loop
can we
that
put
in.
It in
at yeah. the end.
Is that like bootlegged widely enough where everybody will not get him after us?
No one can come after
we'll
us.
We'll plug it in here.
Yeah,
at
it's
the end.
Incredible.
Or at the beginning so that they have heard it while he no it's at the end.
Yeah, he goes for the note and it is not there. He's like, and so, Javert, you see, it's true that man bears no more guilt than you. Who am I? 2 4 6 oh,
and the orchestra is just kind of like, rawr.
And the audience does not applaud, and you hear the guy playing the judge like, I'm just going to gavel this out early. Because he keeps trying to make it connect. It's not like, wah! Oh, nope.
He tries to finish it.
He keeps trying it. He thinks it's going to click in at some point.
Sometimes the show must not
so
go
it's,
on.
It's brilliant.
Guys, please listen to this entire episode because I will be putting it at the end.
Yeah, enjoy.
Oh, at the end of the episode.
Yes.
Yeah, put it into the episode.
That's
what
we do.
Yeah.
I put it in at the end of that story.
Oh, yeah. Or wherever. I mean, at some point, you're going to hear the for real clip.
It'll be like a surprise dropping.
Just at some point in the middle of a story, you'll just go, what? It'll be great.
Like
just
that
a total,
goat,
yeah.
Like the Taylor Swift.
It'll just keep popping up. It's like a morning show.
Yeah.
Where they just have keep sound effects that just keep coming.
That's also
in.
An option.
That'd be great. Oh my god.
I might do but that. Just, I might do that.
I think continually.
You're
it'll be
the
like the
only
king.
Person I can talk to about that shit. Yeah. You and like Max Cantor are the only people
oh,
who know
Max
that
Cantor.
Stuff.
Oh yay. Yeah, I will go for a deep cut. I am not mad. I have got a gentle encyclopedic knowledge kind of moment. Yeah, that's it. Look, anything with a density of failure, I am deeply into.
Density of failure.
Density of failure.
I took note.
I.e. Cats Move. I mean, I saw all three vampire musicals in their first previews. I saw Dance of the Vampires.
You love
and
first
Dracula
preview.
And the Frank Wildhorn. No, the Frank Wildhorn Dracula and Lestat. Yeah. Oh, good old Lestat. It was... The vampire triptych was a weird era in Broadway
Are
history.
Are you a horror person? Horror film?
Not at
film?
All.
Firm?
Not at all.
Horror firm?
Horror firm. Horror... Yeah.
Horror cotton firm.
Yeah. no, I'm not. Like, not at all. I just love a musical that I looks like it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, having a moment.
How did we get from Big Gay Cruise, I'm trying to connect the dots, to Goat Les Mis?
To Goat Les Mis. I don't know.
Goat Are we Les done Mis. With Big Gay Cruise chat? No, because I want to know, like, some yeah. stories so, or, yeah. like...
I mean, it's actually been an incredible...
Who you played for?
Yeah, it's been an unbelievable job because, A, I'm... It takes me out of New York whenever New York is terrible and frigid and stupid. And it's like, hey, instead, would you like to be in Tahiti? Yes, I would. Yes, I absolutely would. I would rather be in Tahiti, which I've been to 3 times at this point.
You get to see the world.
I get to see the world. For free, which is incredible, and get paid really well for it. And, like, they take really good care of us. I work ass off on these things. But it's incredible because I'm performing as myself. But also I'm music directing for whomever we bring in, because we replace all the entertainment on board the ship, because the, you know,
come on, people come back.
And we're doing a show, choir show, that is normally on the boat, does not really go over with the gays.
Right. And do you bring people? Do you bring your friends? Or do you cast?
Now at this point I do.
Okay.
Which is really? Incredible. Like they really, really trust me, and judgment, and know that I'm kind of have my fingers in many Mrs. Lovett's meat pies. So
hey, oh, I love it's me a meat
oh,
pie.
Yeah, savory and sweet pies, as oh. you'll see. But yeah, so they know that I kind of know who's around doing the things. Mm-hmm. So it started off that they were just kind of assigning me to play for people, and one of the first ones that I did was Andy Bell, who was the lead singer of the '80s, '90s pop band Erasure. So I just kind of got thrown into that. They're like, hi, can you try this? We need desperate help. So I did, and that went well. And then I just became kind of the music director for whatever they bring on, which has gone anywhere
which
from
is a
like
a lot of music.
It's a lot of music. Mm-hmm. And it's always like, wham, you're getting thrown in. You're meeting a band the day of the show. You have to rehearse it. And then, you know, rehearse it, sound check it, perform it twice that night. And it's often performers that I haven't met before. Sometimes they come with, you know, hey, here are my charts, here are all my orchestrations, here's everything. But there was one time, 2013? Yes. In Europe, where Deborah Cox was headlining. And she was coming on, it was a 13-piece band on board this particular big gay boat. She had no charts, so no music for the band, and no click tracks to sync up with her, like, with the dancey hit stuff. So I had to build an entire show for her for 13 pieces in 4 days, while performing all my other shows, while still finishing up the orchestrations for Mandy Gonzalez's show of In the Heights, and now the Hamiltones. While everything was happening at the same time.
It's making my eyes itch. Yeah.
It was madness, but it ended up being great. So now, like, I play for Deborah kind of a lot. So it's led to me performing with a lot of these people outside. So I was on tour with Andy Bell all summer, mm-hmm. doing all these European festivals. Now that I've done this a bunch, they allow me to suggest people, or like, hey, how about this? Or so I've brought a lot of our friends on to perform.
Of course.
But I'm also like, they're like, hi, we have a slot, we need a headliner, what do you think? And there was the moment, it was January 2017, we had a cruise going out, and it was directly like 2 days after the inauguration of the Orange Nightmare.
Oh, man.
And they're like, who can we get? We need a decent headliner. And I've had a running list for a long time, and I'm like, this is finally our time to get Jennifer Holliday and make her pull out of singing at the inauguration. Pay her 10 times as much. Cause they'd announced that she was singing at mm-hmm. the inauguration.
Wow.
And Jen, bless her heart, is kind of very apolitical, just kind of like, she's not really focused on that. She really, when she went on all of, yeah. you know, when she went on Joy the next day after she'd pulled out, and she was like, how did you not know there was going to be some backlash? She's like, I really don't pay attention to that stuff. She doesn't. She was not kidding. But I'd wanted Jennifer to perform with us for forever, and because it's Jennifer damn Holiday. I'm like, well, this would be an opportunity.
Sure.
For you to make things real right, real fast with the gay community. Because that's why she pulled out. She said that, you know.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That she's like, you know, when the gay community was like, this is going to hurt us. She's like, this was the community that fed me when no one would hire me. So.
Full body chills.
She's like, yeah. So she's like, if the gay community was like, this is wrong. She's like, that's who I listen to. And she's like, I've sung for every president since Reagan. Mm. She's like, I didn't really think of this as any different, but when I realized it was, then I was out. And then 2 days later, she was on a boat in the Caribbean, singing I Am Changing a cappella to a room full of adoring homosexuals.
For more people.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Amazing.
That's America to me.
Yeah.
That is America.
That is America. And now I get to, now, like, I work with Jen all the time, and it's incredible.
Jen. She just went down for Sydney Cabaret Fest.
Yeah, we did Sydney Cabaret Festival, which was amazing.
Amazing.
Actually got the Barbra Streisand coasters in Sydney.
Of course you did.
Fabulous.
The Streisand / Cher / Bette Midler / Audrey Hepburn. I just needed a fourth. Yeah. The other option was Madonna, and I was like,
No, Audrey's the right choice.
No, Audrey was the right choice.
No shade to Madonna.
No shade to Madonna.
Gas it up a
Wendell Odom, I hear you.
I finally saw Madonna live. I'm trying to see everyone live this year. Like.
What do you mean everyone live?
I'm trying to see Elton in April.
Yeah, I finally saw Elton John. I'm trying to see everyone before they die or retire.
That's my MO.
Yeah,
that's
so
what I do.
In the last couple of years, I'm like, yes, I'm going to go see Cher. Yes, I'm going to go see Stevie Nicks. Yes, yeah. I'm finally going to see Elton, like a good homosexual piano player. Like.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to check them all off. And
I saw Cher last year. I saw Barry Manilow last year.
Barry, yeah,
that was fun.
You have to be at least, I mean, over the age of 50 for me to go to your goddamn concert.
Of course, of course.
I'm not paying. If you still got legs.
No.
When you say greatest hits, I want all.
Yeah, I don't mean
your greatest.
Yeah,
hits.
I want. Yeah. You know, 67 hours of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I went, I got in to see Alanis Morissette was doing, like,
at
right before Jagged Little Pillow opened. At the Apollo.
Fuck you.
Was doing.
Couldn't get
yeah.
There.
Yeah.
I was waiting and waiting and waiting.
And I am good at the ticket game. Like, I've
never tried it before.
I'm from years and years and years of seeing Tori Amos, and, like, playing out that ticket game. I know the ticket game. I could not get tickets to that show. So I just did what I did. For Hello Dolly, first preview, and StubHubbed at the last minute. And I got, like, so then the ticket prices drop. Life hack number one. This is how you get into Hamilton.
Brian's Coupon Corner.
Yeah, you need to go on StubHub about 40 minutes before the performance. You need to be near the venue. Like, if you're going to a Broadway show if you want to get into a Broadway show that's sold out, there is the... StubHub ticket office on 40th and Broadway, and about starting an hour before, the ticket prices just plummet because they're just trying to offload them. So I got an hour before the first preview of Hello Dolly, I got what I thought was a third row center seat for $200. It was an $800 ticket. It turned out to be a front row center seat because they'd taken out the first two rows of the passerelle. So I was front row center for the first preview of Hello Dolly, dying. And there were two empty seats next to me because the other tickets didn't sell.
Did you cry?
I was just, I
was
too in shock.
Was it the first time you had seen Bette?
I had seen Bette the year before, a year and a half before when I was doing Beaches in Chicago.
Also Penn.
When we were in, when we were in tech. During the day off, Bette was doing a show in Chicago.
Okay.
So I finally saw Bette live.
Like her tour?
The tour.
That's
the
way to see Bette.
It was unreal.
Yes.
It was unreal. And it was the last show of the tour. She apparently was going to cancel because she apparently was not feeling well. But she went out
she
crushed. She was an unbelievable voice. She sounded great. She looked great. The show was hysterical. It was incredible. So I was just dying the entire time. And I paid a heaping pile of money and just got like a seventh row seat because I'm like, I'm seeing Bette Midler live. Finally, I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I cannot
be in this. Thank God, Hello Dolly. I mean, we were levitating. The royal we. The entire theater was just like, and this is it. This is the reason. Like, that's my, like, my Broadway I get through my divas. That's my version of, I know cabaret because I loved Liza. Not because I know Candor and Ebb. You know? So I love when a woman gets a big juicy role and then just like shakes the titties in my face.
It's so good. It's so dreamy. And it was interesting because I'd already bought tickets for the second week of previews because I know Bette and I'm like, I could see her being like, we're not ready. I'm canceling the first week. So I didn't want to get screwed over in case they canceled any of the first previews. But then when it was going forward, I'm like, I will not miss this first performance. I'm like, I must be in that room. So,
did you see any of the other dollies?
I missed Donna, unfortunately, because I heard she was brilliant, and I love Donna Murphy. But I did see Bernadette.
I went to her closing. I saw Bernadette do it twice.
Yeah. Unbelievably different performance, but brilliant.
Totally. They all delivered three different distinct dollies.
I want to go see, so badly, I want to go see the Carole Carmelo
Me
on the road.
Too.
Can we just take a road trip?
Yes.
Can we just go to Providence?
Yes.
And stop off at Denny's on the way back?
You have a car.
Yeah, I have a car. Let's do it.
Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel. Now we can go to Cracker Barrel again.
The Cracker is Barrel.
Yeah, because you didn't used to be able to go to Cracker Barrel.
Right.
Is the one in New York open yet?
They're opening a Cracker Barrel in New York?
Foley Square, bitch.
You're kidding. Really?
Yes, it's not open yet.
Really? Are they still opening up that Krispy Kreme flagship store on 48th and Broadway?
I don't know.
I haven't heard. Happening.
Yeah.
My sweet tooth.
There's going to be like a 24-hour like hot now sign. Yeah. There's going to be like a glaze waterfall.
Oh my God. Like on that Sex in the City where she goes to the Weight Watchers that's by the Krispy Kreme donut.
Oh. Yeah. I used to play a piano bar on the Upper East Side and there was like, we'd stay and chat afterwards. It's called Brandis. And we'd sit and chat at the bar afterwards. And just like, you know, we'd order food in and like just sit there until 5 in the morning. Like all of our friends just sitting and chatting. And then when we'd walk out the door, just pervading the air was the warm glaze from the Hot Now sign from the Krispy Kreme on 84th and 3rd. And then we'd have to stop.
What a beautiful memory.
Yeah. Just hot now, pervading the
air. When I'm in my deathbed, can you come over and tuck me in and tell me that story?
And just, hot.
Knock, knock, knock.
Hi, it's
Brian.
Brian
Nash is here. Brian Nash is here for you.
And I'll just waft a donut under your nose.
Tell me the Krispy Kreme and Brandy story. Tell me, and then get out.
Tell me about the glaze, Mama. Tell me about the glaze. That's incredible. Yeah.
I still haven't been to Brandy's. There are so many places that are like touchstones, iconic places.
Been a couple times when LaDonna is singing.
Dear LaDonna Burns.
I know that's like a Kelly and Ann.
Yeah.
Ann worked there for a long time.
Yeah. Ann Steele worked there. Like a lot of brilliant performers worked
there. Sure.
Random. It's on the east side.
Adina Alexander. Broadway's Adina Alexander worked there for 25 years, I think.
Yeah. What a queen.
Yeah. And she was continuing to work there when she was doing Wicked. She'd show up and do a shift, just kind of keep her toe in.
When you love it, you love it.
Yeah, and when you're just a morbid standby at that point. When you're a morbid standby, you can go do a piano bar shift and do 17 shots of tequila and just rock out your life. Because, you know, you don't need to be...
Or if you're Adina Alexander, you can...
Exactly.
Do that no matter what.
Yeah, no. It's great. Like, the gorgeous Natalie Douglas worked there for a long time. Like, a lot of people got their kind of footing there. And have gone on to brilliant things.
You and your Natalie's.
Val
lives by Brandy's. We should go.
A block. We can crash at Val's.
We should go.
I will occasionally still sub in there.
What's the best night to go to Brandy's?
It depends on what you want.
I feel like LaDonna's always there on a Tuesday with Elliot Roth.
Tuesday's very chill. A Tuesday's very chill and nice. I used to work
Tuesdays. I could be making that up, but
Tuesdays
I think that's
for a few
right.
years.
Okay.
Because I still, like, I keep one gentle toilet in the piano bar scene.
Because you own the duplex.
Yeah.
You are Mr. Duplex.
I mean, the fun thing is,
do shares in the duplex?
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Are they on the market?
Share? Can you imagine if actual Cher was in the duplex?
I can.
Yeah. Has she ever been in the duplex?
Coolest.
Did Cher ever play the duplex?
I'm sure. I'm sure everyone has at some point.
Who has played the duplex? Drop some names.
Joan Rivers got her start there.
Well, I want to, mm-hmm. meaning that
who
you
still
played
shows
for,
up? Oh,
that
I
could
that have, like, popped in.
Melissa Etheridge.
Really?
Yeah, Melissa Etheridge.
We'll just show up at the duplex.
Yeah. There was one night, it was actually right before I came on.
Talk
it
about
was
coming to your window.
Bobby, it was Bobby Lopez's birthday, composer of the Book of Mormons and the Avenue Q's and the Frozen's. So it was his birthday, and they showed up at happy hour before there was a pianist on. He and his wife, Kristen, who co-wrote Frozen with him, and their good friend, Idina Menzel, to run through the Oscar cut of Let It Go. Because they have
oh, that's right! I remember
yeah.
when that happened.
Yeah. And suddenly, every homosexual in the West Village popped up with a cell phone.
Yep, I remember.
And they were just like,
when
running.
There's that much gay energy
yeah.
in one place.
Yeah. Yeah. Just,
it's just
Idina Menzel just running
like in
through
Cats,
the Oscar
your body
cut.
Just
yeah.
gets pulled and your face is still over here for a second.
Yeah. Before it yeah. watches over. Like, just the ghost of the village just show the fuck up.
Yep. Gay angel.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah, it's... So, I've been doing piano bar since I moved to New York. Like, that was my first job after I started working at EJ's Luncheonette as a waiter, and an old man threw bacon at my chest because it wasn't crispy enough.
Same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
EJ's
Luncheonette on 6th Avenue and 9th Street.
Oh, I know it.
Even though I lived in the hinterlands of Astoria, and I'd have to get up at 4 in the morning... to get there in time for my, 5:30 a.m. breakfast shift. Now I go to bed at 4:30 in the morning. So I was working at EJ's Luncheonette and got, I'd done piano bar in Boston, which is where I went to school, and was, playing in a rock band and also singing opera and also doing theater. And then moved to New York with the rock band.
Back in New York,
yeah,
starting
a
rock
band. Yeah, totally. Just literally playing at CBGB all the damn time. It was incredible. It was with singer-songwriter Justin Tranter, who is now very famous and wrote Cake by the Ocean. He's a songwriter for everybody. because he decided the emo singer-songwriter pop thing was not quite working. So he started a three-chord rock band called Semi-Precious Weapons, opened for Gaga, and now just writes for everybody.
So he's, his career is in the toilet.
Yeah, yeah. He's doing very poorly. He has so much money. So was doing, doing the rock band thing, and we're I'm just going to do the rock band, and I'm just going to wait tables until that takes off. And then wandered into the duplex one evening, and a friend was like, why don't you get up and do something? And I did, and there was randomly Sunday nights had just become available. Which, there are about 7 people who do piano bar in New York. I thought it was going to be a sea of people and I'd never be able to get in. There are actually 7 people who do it and I was never going to be able to get in.
Special New York icon.
It was a weird
legend.
Toddler at that point.
It's a very special skill. It's not just, I know how to play piano and read music, so I'm going to show up at piano bar.
God.
It's about playing a live room where people are or are not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's about
keeping their attention.
The fly.
Yeah.
It's about, I don't know this song, but about figuring it out.
Yeah. I walk in the room. It's a 7-hour night. I mean, now I only do one a week because I'm out of town so much. I'm doing so many other things. I keep one night a week just in case every other job I have blows up. Yay, freelancing in New York.
25-cent insurance policy.
Yeah, yeah. But it's it's a 7-hour night, and I walk in the room having no idea what I'm going to play that night. And I'm we'll figure it out.
But you have your Evian.
I have enormous bottles of Evian.
I love watching you play. You get so sweaty and you're so passionate. And you're and what's next? And you've got your...
Yeah.
You went digital.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You've got your
yeah,
your iPad.
I've got my iPads.
I haven't seen you for a while there, but on Sunday nights at the duplex, get there, get your corner, hunker down.
Yeah. And it's pretty... It's really... I'm really, really lucky.
It's
got... Now I've got a really broad audience. People who come in from out of town, they're like, hi, we're back from Amsterdam, and we come in every year and we see you. People who are emailing me being like, are you going to be there, on these dates?
Sure. Because they know you travel too.
Yeah, because they're booking their trips, and they're like, we're not going to come to New York if you're not going to be here. Which is crazy to me. But it's just really, really, it's a really fun thing because whatever comes up, I can normally make happen. And I'm just sitting there psychologically profiling the room at every moment and trying to, okay, so this moment is working for these people. These people are slightly distracted and they look Midwestern, 51 to 62 years old, and they've got their gay son and their random daughter. Okay, so these people would like this song, which will also apply to these people over here. So let's do that song and bring these people together. And then it's just kind of creating a... It's throwing a party. It's throwing a seven-hour musical party.
You're so good at that shit.
Oh, thanks.
And there is. There's something about, like, the ego not getting in the way. You're totally... Your energy is what you just explained, like really catering to the room. Mm-hmm. And it's that's why people love to be there, because it's like, oh, he sees us. Yeah. We're not just watching like a narcissist sing.
Yeah. He thinks these things pretty. Well, you can
not about that. You are engaging and you are making your audience feel like they came to your old-fashioned living room piano party.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the goal. And cheers. Like, I mean, the good thing is, like, because I've done it for so long and because I've got a weird brain that tends to remember lyrics and chord structures really easily, I can't, because there are a lot of times where people are, you know, you're taking requests, but you have to just read it. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's the song, but you're not going to get eye contact. Because I have a weird memory that way, I can still, like, I can be engaged and be coming basically over the piano and into the room and make sure that there's contact there. Because the performers that I love and, like, the pianists that I love really, really do that. Like, I learned how to play by watching Tori Amos. And Tori is continually opened to the audience physically, like, turned sideways on the piano bench and, like, looking directly mm-hmm. into your damn soul.
Yeah.
So, like, I want to be doing that. Even if it's something that I don't know, I will, like, memorize the next three lines as I'm sight reading it mm-hmm. and try to get out of the book.
Did you see the John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Bunch?
I haven't watched it yet. It's on my list.
Delicious.
It's delicious.
I'm so excited.
And there is a duplex moment.
No,
shut up. Specifically.
Moment. I fell off my sofa.
Fell off.
I was in the Grandpa Joe bed.
Yeah.
I'm gonna die.
Not to spoil your duplex surprise for that, but it's...
Your heart will flutter.
Yeah. Oh my god.
You could almost see your head in their little cartoon window that they drew.
Shut up! Like, oh my god!
You're such a staple of, like, downtown New York.
No, I mean, I love it. That's... Oh god. Because there was one night I did get, you know, people will often, like, write down requests on a napkin or whatever and put it up on the piano. There was a night where I took a picture of it. Somebody just wrote a napkin that said, "You're like if John Mulaney and Elton John had a baby."
Kind of.
Oh, what a compliment.
Like, I
frame that napkin. Frame that napkin.
I know. It is now forever on the Instas. And I'm like, that is not inaccurate.
That's beautiful.
I will absolutely
take
that. You
felt seen.
Mm-hmm.
How do you become you? Like, where did you go to school? How did you become so good at playing piano and just sitting down and, like, having no note? Like, that to me is crazy.
Yeah.
Having no music in front of you and just be like, what do you want to hear? Oh, this random song? I know that.
I mean, that's why there are so few piano bar
mm-hmm.
players.
Yeah.
Yeah. For lack of
And it's a weird
sentence structure.
And part of it is because, like, part of the reason why I think I've done well with it is because I've got a really broad swath of musical, enjoy that word, of just, like, musical influences and kind of what I'm into. Because, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're pop, you're rock, you could do blues, jazz?
Yeah, sure.
Blues, jazz?
Yeah, like, I've actually gotten a lot more familiar with, like, the jazz stuff, given, like, a lot of the people that I play for.
Okay.
So I knew Great American Songbook, kind of the stuff that people know. But I've gotten to really go deep dive, like, playing with Natalie Douglas and, like, a lot mm-hmm. of people in Birdland. And just, like, that has really transformed the depth of that knowledge. But, like, okay, if we're doing the school background-y thing, it's really weird.
Is it story-worthy weird?
It's story-worthy weird, I think. Because, like, okay, as a little fat and gay child, I clearly wanted to be Annie. Duh. Duh. We all did. But then, like, was doing the pop thing, really enjoyed a Debbie Gibson moment, really enjoyed Tiffany, early Madonna, Cindy, the first CD I ever bought was the True Colors CD. Wow. So Cindy was, like, deep for queen. Me very early on.
Queen.
The queen. And that voice is insane. The whistle tone in When You Were Mine just blew my mind when I was six.
I've been doing a lot of Hatful of Stars lately.
Oh, Hatful of Stars is gorgeous. Oh, God, that whole...
That's one that got lost to time for a little while.
Yeah, and that album is kind of... Oh, God. D-flat. Oh, God, what is that song? That gorgeous ballad on that album. I don't know. I'll
There's many.
It'll come back. I'm gonna be strong.
There's a D flat in it.
Gonna be strong.
There's a D flat.
It's in D flat, and she's belting her tits off.
It's incredible.
Flat,
he says.
Yeah. It's.
Who says that?
I had to like start playing it.
Know
to be like,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna be strong. It's incredible. Check it out.
I'm so annoyed by you.
Yeah. So like I was doing like Cindy and pop stuff. And loved that and just wanted to sing. Just wanted to sing all the time. Did not play piano at all. And then was doing like choir and auditioned for the first Chicago company of Les Mis. I didn't know it was about starving children and I was very fat. So I did not book it. I went in. My fat ass in like a bulky sweater in a Chicago winter.
My name is Brian Nash. I will be auditioning for the role of Madame Thénardier.
Yes, basically, shoulda. Didn't own the show yet because it had just come out. And went in and my little fat ass was like,
make Augustus
some
glue.
Say love, it is a river. Literally sang the rose for my Gavroche audition. What?
I sang Everything's Coming Up Roses for my Funny Girl audition at age 10.
Yeah.
Booked it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I booked that. Yeah. I absolutely.
You
That's actually a good choice
girl
for that.
At 10?
Yeah.
I thought you were like 20.
You're a magnificent Fanny.
10.
That was my regional debut.
10.
I was a little child.
Oh.
Understood.
You were Eddie.
Stephanie was my Fanny.
Oh, you did the J block. Yeah.
Before the J.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pre J.
Yep. Stephanie Block. Stephanie Block.
Oh, I need a J in
she
there.
She was queen.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie J Block.
Oh yeah, you know, you gotta give an initial.
Yeah.
If you want to. So like did not book it. They called me in later for falsettos because that tracked more. But yeah, and then discovered Les Mis. Like I'd already kind of been in the musical theater, like dipping a toe in. I played in like a local like kiddie production of Little Shop. I played the dentist. I rode in on my Knight Rider Big Wheel, which I thought was a very strong acting choice.
Absolutely.
Knight Rider Big Wheel.
My God.
Yeah, yeah. But then was like deeply in love with Les Mis. I did my fifth grade book report on the unabridged edition of Les Miserables. Like 1,463 pages of Victor Hugo.
You have it memorized.
My
too?
Teachers were so confused. I was a weird, I like started reading really early, so I was like a weird ass kid.
Did we all know you're gay? All the adults around?
Like, I'm sure they did.
Did we get any bullying? Like, were people like, because I want you to be my child. Like, you just telling me this?
I mean, it was typical middle school shit. Like, not from the family at all. But then, like, was doing the choir thing, and my choir teacher took all the boys in the school to see the American Boy Choir when they were on tour. And they were like, hey, if anybody wants to audition, we are having auditions backstage after the show. If anybody wants to, like, you know, come on back. And I went back. And I was like, great. I want to sing the PIA suit from the 4A Requiem. And the music director, Jim Litton, genius, started playing the Lloyd Webber. And I'm like, no. I'm like, I know that one. But yeah, no, the 4A instead. I was 11.
God, my heart is so big for you.
And
you were a cut character from Life with Mikey.
Yeah, absolutely. And got in. They're like, yep, great. Went home, like, woke up my mom. I'm like, I got into the American Boy Choir. She's like...
Woke up my mom. Okay. What was it, 3 p.m.?
No, it was like a night concert. It was like 11 o'clock by the time we got back from the concert. It was an evening. Hey, and she's like, ah, whatever. And
Mike Ditka.
Yeah, and then the admissions material started showing up. I'm like, no, I really want to do this. So I went to boarding school for 7th and 8th grade. I was in the American Boy Choir in Princeton, New Jersey. Went on tour with them, which was incredible. Like, we went to Taiwan, we went to Czechoslovakia, we went to Poland.
That seems incredibly life-changing and formative.
It was unreal because, like, it was a boarding school. It was basically like gay musical Hogwarts. It was
That's what I see in my mind.
It was unreal. Because, like, when I started reading Harry Potter, I'm like, yup, this all tracks. Because, like, we'd get up ass early in the morning and, like, have breakfast and then have music theory class. And then we'd do our academics in the morning. And then we'd have lunch. And then we'd have, like, a little PE kind of moment just going to get us moving. And then we'd be in rehearsal all afternoon.
What a dream. What a dream. Existence. Yeah.
So it was me and 71 other pre- and post-adolescent boys living in a house and just singing all day. Which was great on
the inside of my head.
So many levels. Yeah. What? Like... Yeah.
Are you friends with any of them?
Oh, like, God, yeah.
Still?
Absolutely.
Do they live in New York?
Absolutely. Like, some of them live in New York. They kind of live all over the place. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
There should be an encore for that.
I know. Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was just the best, most formative thing. Because the second it was going to get, like, weird, like, going to middle school and being like, je suis fatigué, like, fat, I'm gay. A, got out. Went to a boarding school that was just Hogwartsian, and also the food was terrible and they kept the candy on lockdown. So I, like, lost 25 pounds in my first year and, like, grew 6 inches. They thought I was anorexic. I'm like, no! I'm just not coming home from school and making myself a bowl of brownie batter and watching the Thundercats. So...
It's me!
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Brownie so, batter!
Yeah.
Thundercats!
Yeah. Yeah. So, and, like, I... went from being, like, weird and shy and quiet and just, like, I got to really kind of become myself. And, like, yes, these people are laughing at all my Monty Python references.
Oh, that's beautiful. Mm. You found your tribe.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, like an God, early yes. tribe. Absolutely.
They saw your true colors.
Yeah.
Shine
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And then went to Interlochen. Like, I went home for 2 years for high school, but then went to Interlochen for
oh, look.
Yeah. Oh, God. My actual diploma.
I'm sitting at his diploma.
Yeah. But, like, that's... And then I was, like, studying opera at Interlochen for high school.
Michigan.
Yeah. Northern Woods of Michigan. And it was there that I started playing. Like, I didn't play the piano at all until I was 15.
Wow.
And Casey Stratton, who's actually a brilliant singer-songwriter, was a senior. I was a sophomore. And he got our entire campus hooked on Tori Amos. Mm. Like, he started playing her music, and everyone was like, what is this? And
I know it's nothing the about greatest Tori gift. Amos.
This is, yeah. like, the weird way when I met yeah. Brian and found out that he was a mm-hmm. Tori file,
mm-hmm.
I was like, no one else has ever said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No one else mm-hmm. has ever known who she is or yeah. liked her.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. There's a lot of people in theater who know her and love her because the music is so theatrical and it's so musical. It's so in-depth. The harmonic structure is incredible. And she is the best pianist currently working. Like, it's unbelievable. Her left hand is insane. Elton John has told her how jealous yeah. he is of her left hand. Because she
left hand.
Plays symphonically. And I heard her music, and I'm like, I need to play the piano now.
Mm.
So I went down to the practice room in the basement of my dorm, and I started teaching myself her music. Like, I started learning to play the piano. The first song I ever learned was Winter by Tori Amos. And then the rest of it was, like, her music and vocal selections from musicals. And I started, just like... And vocal selections from musicals are terribly written.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, right. here's yep. the melody in the right hand, and here's kind of a bass line. I'm yep. like, this doesn't sound like it. I'm reading it, and I could read music already, clearly. But I was like, this doesn't sound right. So I'd be reading it, but then layering in stuff from the orchestrations that I heard. So I was both reading and playing by ear. So it was a great training ground to be able to, like, do what I do now. Which is, like...
Which, of course, you couldn't have planned.
Or... No, God, no. I never would have thought... growing up, that I'm like, I'm going to be a pianist. That's not the thing. So my main pianistic influences are Tori, Jason Robert Brown, and Ben Folds. Because that's really how I learned how
literally
to play.
Literally, if all three of those people had a baby, that'd be you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus some glitter.
Plus some glitter and a unicorn. Yeah. But yeah, my pianistic learning is weird because I taught myself how to play, really.
One of my dreams is still to go to a Tori concert with you.
Oh my god. Oh, and we'll...
It was the last one that came through town. You were not here.
I was out of town.
You had to catch her literally everywhere else.
Yeah, I went to Europe instead.
Yeah. Well, we had a great time at the Beacon.
Yeah, those were good shows.
Listen.
Those were good shows.
Had a great time at the fucking Beacon.
Yeah. And the good thing about a Tori show is, like, she never plays the same set twice. Mm-mm. Like, every show is like, here's, you know... kind of the same opening that I'll do, and then, like, sometimes
you hear every song you need to hear. Somehow you have the night you need to have.
Because, I mean, she very much talks about tapping into the energy of a room and a space and what's happening in that city that day. And, like, so every set is incredibly different.
Yeah, the set list is really just there for her so that she doesn't go over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if she feels something in a minute, she'll be like, oh, nope, guys, I'm not doing that song, and then just goes in a different direction. It's incredible.
She was my first concert.
She was my first, like, major concert.
At the Greek in L.A.
98?
Later, it was Sleeps with Butterflies.
Oh, God, 2005, really? Oh, damn. Was I at that show? No, I didn't.
I was not a concert kid. I never wanted to go to the musical concerts. I wanted to go to the musicals.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went to the Pantages, and we went to wherever.
Yeah.
But when she was coming through LA, I was like, Mom, I know we don't do this. I know this isn't a show, but I want to go here.
That was my first concert of my own choice that I wanted to go see.
Yeah.
I did. My parents did take me to see Air Supply when I was eight. Which, in Florida. We were down in Florida and we went to go see Air Supply. I don't know why. It's not like my parents really like Air Supply, but we just went. I remember the hot dog was really good. Again, fat kid.
I can't remember my first concert.
Really?
No. I mean, I went to concerts, but my first big arena concert, like in Milwaukee, was Bette Midler.
Which tour?
I went to a lot of them. Divine Miss Millennium.
Oh.
1999.
Yeah, great.
We were all scared of Y2K.
Yeah.
I went with my mom, Val Buchholz, and Debbie Buchholz.
20 years ago.
20 years ago.
20 years ago.
Yeah, that checks out. Mm-hmm. That was my big, fancy...
That's a good one.
Basketball
team player. Yeah, I bought an outfit for Tori.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely went on a kind of date to Tori in 94.
Oh, I love kind of dates.
Really could go either way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're either going to be bawling on your first date, or you're... going to have the best first date of your life.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, it was, what, 15, 16? I think it was 15, because my parents dropped us off.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was like, you're the only other gay kid in my high school.
The person
who... He wasn't even at my high school. Jared didn't even go to my high school.
I think I've told you this story, but obviously we go to the merch table, and I have to buy my program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we buy a program, we get back to our seat, and we're flipping through it, and I get to, like, this beautiful centerfold, and it's fucking signed. I go, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's signed. She goes, no, it's printed that way. Like, this was $15. It's not signed. So we're looking at the people in front of us go through theirs. And we're just waiting patiently for them to get through all these beautiful fucking pictures of Tori. I'm like, get to the fucking middle. They open up the middle. Their shit is not signed.
And I have that program.
I do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prized possession.
Yeah. There.
I felt like the luckiest kid. That's America. Amazing. And of course, I'm young. I'm probably 15.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Mom, what if this is like Lucky Tray Day at school, where like if you have the signed one, you get a special prize later?
Oh my God.
Nothing ever happened. I was like, look what I amazing. Got.
I mean, I've got
that merch person saw like a young little faggot and was like,
yeah, you get this. Yeah, here you go.
You
honey.
Worked hard to be here.
Mm-hmm. I've got so many like prized Tori things, which is okay. We're gonna go hardcore geek. Like, she made a record. There was a contest in the city of Baltimore to write a song for the city when she was 17, and she went and recorded a song. There were like 10 copies of this record that they had pressed. She won the song contest. It sounds like the WKRP in Cincinnati theme song.
Yeah.
Like,
Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah. We like it here in Baltimore. There's so much love in Baltimore. We're working hand in hand to make this place a better land in Baltimore. Love it. It's insane.
Why hasn't Natalie done it?
It's terrible. It's amazing and it's terrible. And I have one of the 10 copies of this record. And
you're real. You're.
I had her sign it in like 98. And she's like, I'm not even going to ask where you got this. But like... Yeah.
Does she know you?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Oh, he's on a trading card.
Yeah. Like the regulars.
He has a trading card of himself.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Like the regulars. There's like a bunch of... Training. I love that you remember the trading card.
Regulars.
But like
I remember everything you say to me.
She... At the end of... Like one of my prized possessions. Like at the end of one of the tours. This is 98. So it was one of the first ones where I did a lot of shows. And she like kind of got to know me. We had a book, that people had to like sign it. Cause like there was a show where it was GA and like you had to like sign in to get tickets. It was a nightmare.
We GA stands for general admission.
And people were waiting out in line for like 18 hours to get into this damn show. So I created a list so people could like leave the line and come back in and get back to your spot.
The unofficial list. Yeah. You were the monitor.
I was the number bitch on that.
You were what's her name in that episode of Will and Grace.
Yeah.
No one Fanilo.
Yeah.
It was called Fanilo.
Yeah.
With Gilbert.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like so I had Tori sign the book when she like during one of the shows and she just stopped and she wrote this note to me that was the sweetest thing that I have ever read and I wept. So much. It just said, like, Brian, your radiance was absolutely contagious. Miss you, but we won't be gone too long. ... Can't... ... Heart. T. And I just lost my shit.
You know you're magical, right? You have the spark. No, there's spark. There's little around you.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. So that's a goal realized.
Yay.
You didn't even know it was a goal.
Yeah.
What else needs to happen?
I'm like, what else needs to happen? I don't know. I'm like, I'm doing a lot of the things that I really love. I'm getting to play with a lot of different people doing a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Like, I just did a
tour. Gasteyer.
Yeah. I just did a tour with Anna
Star
Gasteyer.
Star of Wine Country. Yeah. My favorite movie, which I just rewatched and still feel like I've never seen it.
That's right.
It is a different movie. Oh,
I've never seen Wine Country yet. I've seen it six different times.
In the beginning of the movie, Paula Pell tells the driver who drove him out of the house, she goes, and I'll try the manicotti recipe.
Yes!
Which means that the driver offered up a manicotti recipe at some point during that drive.
I know!
That driver has no lines.
I know! I've seen it six times. I still feel like I could see it again, and never have I seen it once.
I'm in the mood to watch it.
I've never seen that movie.
It's on Netflix.
Neither have we.
I know. Okay, great.
It's the best worst thing that ever could have happened after Marilee Roland.
Started it.
It took such a hard turn. I'm so sorry. You just did a big gig with Anna Gasteyer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We just did a tour for her Christmas album, Sugar and Booze.
Which it's so good.
It is literally my favorite holiday album now.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
She's so cool.
She's incredible and such a sweetheart and hilarious. So, I mean, the tour was insane because it was like kind of what I've been doing lately, which is picking up a band in every city and like just teaching them the show that afternoon and doing it that night.
Sure.
This is me and Julian Fletcher, who produced the album, who's a genius, and Anna, and just like hitting the road and doing that thing. And it was like, it was crazy. I mean, it's been a crazy month because it was like the Anna, December was madness because it was the Anna Gasteyer tour, like ceaseless New York-y, like Christmas gigs and parties and concerts and shit like that.
And you did TV gigs,
and then
right?
TV gigs, yeah. We did Seth Meyers and Today Show, which that is madness because we were on at 10:45, but we had to get there at soundcheck at 5 a.m. Boo!
Boo hiss!
Yeah, boo hiss! Boo hiss! So I definitely soundchecked and came back home and took a nap and then went back down to meet with Hoda and that Bush girl. Jenna? Is Jenna the
Jenna Bush Hager?
Yeah, Jenna. Yeah, sure. Sure, sure. She was blocking me in a lot of the shots.
and she knew
Jenna,
it.
Jenna, you make a good door.
Yeah, exactly. Open a new window. And then, but then I had, like, the Countess Luann in Tulsa, Oklahoma. in the middle of all of this. So it was like just like so many different weird things happening at once. And then I got to go home.
I have a question that may be off mic.
Great.
How do you manage the egos? Because there are a lot of people that are people and they have a thing as they should.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're brands and they are singular.
Yeah. I mean,
sometimes
it is.
Do you have to manage egos?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And that's kind of one of the things that weirdly I've become known as being good at.
I can imagine.
Just like working with a lot of people who, you know, who do a lot of this kind of work, but don't have a person who does that with them, who doesn't, don't have like a collaborator. Like Jennifer Holliday doesn't really have, like, she doesn't have a band that she tours with. She doesn't have representation, really. She does, but she doesn't. Yeah. So she kind of goes into every gig like, okay, what am I going to get? Who am I going to be working with? So, and she's very guarded at first. And then, like, I become known as being someone who can, it's actually kind of what I do in the club work, is kind of figuring out who you are and what you need.
I can imagine that's a huge part of your success and why people want to keep working with you.
Yeah. And being able to be like, okay, what is it that you need and how can I provide that? Because that is the job. I mean, there are
while still maintaining who you are and Brian Nash.
Yes. Yeah. And giving them that kind of energy and that kind of support.
Yeah.
Because that's really the job of a musical director, of an arranger. Like, what can I do to help you do what you do? What can we give to the audience and how can I support that? What's the best way to support that? And if it's, you know, throwing out ideas and being like, hey, how about this? And maybe this song, and maybe this, and, you know, let's help. Or if it's someone who like really knows what they're doing and what they want to do, it's just like, okay, how can I give you that? And it's weird how much I hear about that not happening. People who don't really get that. And because it's so, partly it's because I was an actor and because I've been a singer, like, you know, my college degree is in opera performance, but I mainly work as a pianist, supporting other singers. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I'm approaching everything that I'm playing as a singer, as an actor, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, what acting moment are you trying to make happen? What musical moment are you trying to make happen? And how can I mirror that? Or how can I help it and support
that?
That's
really smart. Plus your Midwestern charm.
Sure, you know. We do what we can.
People pleaser.
Yeah. And like, you know, because I worship comedy. I absolutely worship comedy. Like, I grew up on Monty Python and like so many comedians. Like, I watched Gilda Live like nonstop. Yes. I had that VHS and I wore it out.
Did you watch that doc?
Yes.
Gilda?
Oh,
beautiful,
God.
Right?
Gorgeous. Gorgeous. So, like...
Incredible.
Yeah. So, I know how to land a joke, and I can make that happen musically. So, if I'm working with a Natalie Joy Johnson, or somebody who's doing, like...
Or, like, a drag queen.
Yeah.
You know, you work with...
Something like that.
Courtney Act.
And, like, Latrice Royale, and Lavoie, who's a brilliant drag queen from the UK, who you would be obsessed with.
Can't wait.
And like Christina Bianco, people who are landing jokes. I'm like, I can play in a way that will make that joke land harder.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of musicians are just like, you know, I'm just musicking it over here. So whatever you do over there is fine.
You know where I learned that about you? Mostly Sondheim.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Just one of those nights where people are going with varying degrees of talent from several Tony Awards to like, I accidentally walked in here, I was looking for Stonewall.
Right, yeah.
And, like, every performance was, like, funny. You are going to a stage where Brian Nash is playing, and you don't have to worry about that part anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. You just have to show up and do your job.
Mm-hmm. Which is what it should be. Like, performers should be able to just get out there and
do the thing. But you bring that to the duplex, where you could just play the notes on the page.
Oh, sure.
But you don't.
No.
Because that's not that music. Doesn't help anyone.
It's not music, and that's not
fun. That's not music.
Yeah, that's not real music. That's like, here are notes.
Yeah.
When notes are lovely. Notes are very pretty. But who cares? Like, what are you doing? What are you saying? What is this going to be? And you can, you know, mark your way through a lot of stuff. But I don't enjoy a half-assing moment. Sure. I need full assery at all times.
But enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me?
What was your first impression of each of us?
Oh my god. So, Dana was... Did I meet you through Natalie Joy Johnson?
No.
No, you were at Duplex first. I met you... Like, you were... Dana I saw as a kind of like, oh... You're like a fun regular with a little bit like like a little bit of sass, a little bit of eyebrow, just
a little bit of eyebrow.
Yeah. A little bit of Alexis. Like there was
But I dated Poppy Kramer in
exactly
2012-ish.
Yes.
And so she's the one who brought me to the Duplex and kind of, you know, she was the mayor of that area.
Yeah.
Definitely. So exactly. I met you through her.
Was it through Poppy? Or, like, I wasn't sure if you'd come in first and then met Poppy and started dating her. I wasn't sure.
No.
I couldn't remember.
No. So she was kind of my pathway into, like, this is gay New York. Mm-hmm. This is where you should be going.
Yeah.
Thank God.
She's really, like, the reason why I know a whole lot of people.
She did that for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the first, and I would come and see you. She would bartend on Sunday nights, mm-hmm. and you would be playing, and I would get in my little corner over there, kind of by the door, and it was incredible. That whole, like, life, the regulars, the thing, the energy, the vibe that happens.
Yeah.
I've never been downstairs at the Duplex.
Oh, really? It's very fun. I mean, It used to be very New York regular heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's very tourist heavy, which is good in a way. Like we do have like plenty of regulars, but it's very much about like people coming in to have that experience, which it's also busier. So I like that instead of like just the New York people. Now we've got like this influx of like. God, everyone, it's like the UN in here. Everyone here is from like Norway and Australia. So it's very fun and also like means the musical, like it's weird to A, figure out what is universal musically, but B, like kind of what's happening in the zeitgeist of, you know, of Europe. Like what are they listening to?
Oh, so you have to be up. That's another part of your job. You need to be up on whatever Justin Bieber just dropped. Because that'll be...
Exactly. That's what people are asking for.
Yeah.
So it's like I also enjoy still doing it because it keeps me current with all the kids. but it's weird. Like you see how songs kind of cycle in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly, like in the last 4 months... Gloria by Laura Branigan is coming up a lot. I don't know why. I don't know if it was on something, but it's just kind of just...
It's a perfect song.
It's a perfect song. And, like, I did an arrangement with Natalie Joy Johnson and Joel Wagoner of that linked up with Angels We Have Heard on High. So it just made me very happy to do Gloria as a holiday song.
We actually played that at the end of last year.
Oh,
at the end of one of our episodes.
Yeah.
You're famous for your Brian mashups.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
God.
Which are,
bless you.
When you hear one, they're unmistakable and you throw up because you're laughing so hard. And you're like, how dare you?
Well, again, because like all my musical influences are so weird and so disparate. So like if Natalie Joy Johnson really wants to do Straight Up by Paula Abdul, she really just wants to sing that song because she loves an 80s jam. She loves a disco jam. We met up last night and listened through a bunch of disco shit. Because maybe we'll do a disco show. Like, things like that. I'm like, there is no song here. Straight Up is not a good song. Like, I don't want to hear you just sing that song. And I'm like, but wait. Okay. As Nelly refers to it, it's like, beep, boop, boop, boop. I go into, like, the computer in my brain.
Yep.
And I'm like, however, if we arranged it like Mine Hair from Cabaret, that's a thing I can get behind. And it works.
And the result is
really well.
How dare you?
Yeah. Like, Lavoie, brilliant drag queen in the UK, like, we're putting together her 2020 show, and she's like, okay, I really want to do, I need to do something as Judy. But, okay, what can Judy do? Because Judy in the past has done, I want to dance with somebody, and a very Judy, like, just swung, I want to dance with somebody, and then it, like, like, she did, her Judy last year did Someone Like You, which went into the trolley song underneath it.
Oh, my God.
No one compares, no worries, no cares, regrets. It was just, and then, like, a stripper tempo. It was like, what would Judy Garland do if she was singing Adele right now? And I was just like, okay, what is a Mort Lindsay arrangement of Adele, Someone Like You? And so this year, I mean, spoiler alert, I'm like, okay, we need to do multi-layers. We need to do Renee Zellweger as Judy doing Grisabella in the Cats movie.
Oh,
so
my God.
It's going to be a Judy Garland arrangement of Memory.
What Which did you is, think of Stephen the first time you met him?
So Stephen the first time
Judy Garland version of Memory.
I think I first met you in Mostly Sondheim. I think it was the first time I saw you.
Probably.
Yeah. When I first saw you, I said, oh my, oh wow.
The first time ever I saw your face.
I like that I went Dreamgirls and you went Roberta Flack, well, which is weirdly the opposite of our usual
brand. I would
brands.
Have done Roberta Flack.
Honey. Yeah. But yeah. I thought Stephen was delightful, and he got up and sang.
He
got up and sang. He got up and sang on Mostly Sondheim. And he gave me like a baritonal.
In a gay bar?
Yes. A baritone. But it was like a safe space. It was a very.
It was mostly gay. Sondheim.
Yeah, which for those of you who don't know,
famously, how late it was. Yeah. Famously.
Yeah. We started at midnight. So we started at midnight, ended at 4 in the
like,
morning.
Like, I took my time from, yeah. like, leaving a show.
Yeah.
And, like, sauntered down there in the late aughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, he'd been there a few times before he got up and sang. So he knew the vibe, knew the thing. I think, you didn't sing Being Alive, but you sang some kind of, like...
I'm sure it was something
it was like
canon.
It was, like, a Sondheim-y lady moment.
Because I knew you'd be able to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took the title literally. Mostly Sondheim. Well, then I'm bringing you a Sondheim.
Yeah, which weirdly, Mostly Sondheim was often just Robert
Sondheim.
Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah at that era.
That's so stupid.
But it was true. It was very true. Yeah. See, I'm smiling. I don't know why I sang that like Alice Ripley. And then I really got to know a Stephen moment at Mark Fisher Fitness. That's when we really started like, oh,
I guess so.
Hey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I see you in your Sondheim tattoo and your tiny short shorts. Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to open the doors at 6.
Hey. Oof. Oof.
Don't do this.
Poor queen. That's insane. Yeah.
Yeah, we were taking... We would take our classes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh, I forgot about that.
It was like,
that.
Oh.
That was a nice little memory.
Yeah. Yeah. Just swinging a kettlebell with, like, a Sondheim tattoo out.
Well,
yeah.
It happened. Lynn has tweeted this tattoo, by the way.
Yep. Yep, not shocking. Yeah. Not shocking.
Hi-ho! Hi-ho! Hi-ho!
There are 7 very well-known dwarves in history. Mm-hmm. If you were the 8th, what would your name be?
Ooh. What would I be? Oh, God, Chipper came into my head, and that's weird.
Chipper Dwarf?
Chipper Dwarf.
Oh, that's great.
Sure.
I love that one.
Sure. Sure.
You're just chipping away.
Yeah, I know. Or it could be like a wood chipper. Let's see.
Piano keys are made of wood.
TSA Pre-Check Dwarf.
Yeah. TSA Pre-Check Dwarf. Oh, my God. Yep.
Sky Lounge.
Delta Diamond Medallion Dwarf.
Evian Dwarf.
I mean, when I was on tour with Andy Bell, like, actually, this is before I was Diamond Medallion. I was, I was just Platinum. But I still, like, you know, got upgrades and, like, free baggage. But, you know, they did refer to me as Miss Platinum Medallion, which is not a
Please
bad drag
welcome
name.
To the stage.
It's not.
Platinum Medallion. Mm-hmm.
That is gorgeous.
Which Diamond Medallion is much better. I prefer that.
Well, you're going to have to work harder.
Yeah, you do. You gotta make 125,000 miles a year. Although I did 187 last year.
Sometimes you go to the duplex and then you get on a flight. Like, you've done crazy turnarounds.
Yeah, sure. Or yeah, I'll, like...
Travel does not scare you. You are not... You will book something and know that your flight will be fine.
Yeah. knock on everything. But yeah, there are times where I'm like, I will get off a plane from Australia and go directly to the duplex and play for 7 hours. Because I'm gone so much, I feel bad. And they're lovely. They let me sub out whenever I want, whenever I need to. It's great. Partially because they know, like, it is conceivable that I will be there, I will be there. So yeah, it'll be like, I just flew for 25 hours and here we are.
And who wants to hear Gloria?
Yeah, exactly.
It's another through line of our podcast. The people that we talk to, you show up.
Yeah.
You show up.
This is why you're successful. This is why we want to talk to you. This is why you let us in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really respect you and I thank you so much.
Oh my God, of course. My
for
pleasure.
For sitting down with us.
Thank you so much.
And having us over.
I can't believe we finally pinned you down.
On this misty day.
Yeah.
Oh. Queen of the Mist.
But
this is part one of part,
30.
78 with Brian Nash.
It's going to be like R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet. There's just going to be parts that nobody gets
and
to.
Get in the closet. Yeah. And then comes a nosy neighbor with a spatula. Like, what? What was the spatula? What was that all about in that moment?
I want a Natalie Joy Johnson version of Trapped in the Closet.
Maybe all that's her podcast.
All the parts.
Yeah. Maybe that's her podcast.
Natalie's podcast is just our Kelly's Trapped in the Closet. Yeah. Miss Natalie's Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah. Sure.
Also, yeah. Okay, so what do you want to plug? I know there's Get Into It Queen.
Get Into It Queen.
That we just referenced.
By Miss Natalie, our hit gay disco single.
You can download it on iTunes, and then there's also a YouTube video.
The video. We're going into the studio in the next month to record a bunch of the new songs.
Yes!
We have a lot of new songs that have come up.
Is Gummy one of them?
The Gummy is going to be one of them. Can We Just Try It is going to be one of them. There's a new song we're writing called Gorgine.
Love.
Like, it was only a matter of time.
Yeah, I know. You have to. It's Gorgine. Yeah, so that's happening. I don't have anything necessarily to plug.
What does your 2020 look like?
You're going on an Atlantis cruise.
My 2020 is insane. I've got a bunch of big gay boats back to Australia at least once, maybe twice. I might be going back for Sydney Cabaret Festival again this
amazing.
Year.
Amazing. If you're on an Atlantis cruise, go and see Brian Nash. Where do you play? Like in the lounge? Is there like a...
I'll play like, and there's like a piano bar kind of moment, and then I'll be on the main stage every damn night.
Amazing.
And, I've got a solo album. If you like sad songs, it's called Forever After. It's on the iTunes. There's not a single song I wrote on it because I'm lazy. And I don't really write songs that often.
You're the least lazy.
So, yeah, I just don't have that gene.
I love you so much.
I love you.
Where can people find you online? What are your handles?
It's at Brian J. Nash.
Great.
All the things. Beautiful. On all the things. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazee
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Wagoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwagoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at In The Room Pod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out.
And don't forget to subscribe to In The Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suf'smusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.